Sports.
Get the duck boats ready! Get the duck boats ready! After 39 long years, the Cup is back home! The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions!
Diving to the goal line! A touchdown! And a title for the Patriots!
I can't believe it!
And number 17 soon to be raised to the Raptors.
Anything's possible.
It is possible!
This is our city.
Welcome back to the Boston Sports Syndicate podcast. Michael and Bill Travers bringing it to you. And I don't want to call it a comeback, but I mean, it's only been 2.5 months, so I guess we should call it a comeback. I don't really know. But anyway, it's our first episode of 2022. Bill, how's it going?
Going good. How are you?
Not bad.
Is it too late to say Happy New Year?
Probably, yeah. Yeah,
good. Let's put that to a rest.
I think it is. I think it's a little bit too late. I mean, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. I don't know, but we. Go ahead. What were you gonna say? I saw you ready to talk. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, let me be the first to wish you a happy Thanksgiving this year.
let me be the first. That's the best. The absolute best. No, it has been some time, but hopefully, I think I say this every single time. Hopefully, that'll be the last hiatus and hopefully here for 2022 that the Boston Sports Syndicate will put out some regular content. But right off the bat, we have had a surgence of articles being written, people visiting the website, even still listening to this podcast that hasn't been put out in 3 months. But people are still listening, people are still contributing, people are still commenting, Twittering. So thank you to everybody.
Even though we've been quiet with the podcast, we haven't been inactive here at the Syndicate.
Well, correct. And we've brought on a new show called the Beantown Beatdown, which is they're trying to push for our spot, I think, here as the flagship. They're not going to take it, but I think that they're trying. So it's a new show that we added to our list.
Competition is always good.
Healthy competition.
Healthy competition. Yes, amongst ourselves.
They've been established for 7 days. They put out six articles. I mean six podcasts. So.
Good for them. Yeah. They're young and energetic. Yeah. Young go-getters.
Yeah, that's Nick Galley and Andrew Parker. They have joined the Boston Sports Syndicate under the Beantown Beatdown name, and they cover all major sports teams and recent events and pop culture, I guess. And you can find them on our website, you can find them on YouTube, and you can find them on Spotify. Mainly our website. That's the place to find them. That's the best place, bostonsportssyndicate.com.
And Nick has been a contributor of ours in the past.
He has
rejoined us after a brief hiatus.
Correct, yep. And Chris Henrique is back. And this is all stuff that hasn't even been talked about since we last met. This is like a since we last met, but just for the Boston Sports Syndicate.
Oh, we don't have enough time to cover a since we last met.
We don't have
October
to talk about...
October 21st, that's when we last met.
We don't even have to talk about sports. We can just talk about what's been going on with us. That's really...
That will be hours and hours and hours, just for you alone.
Yeah. Well, we don't get personal on this. Okay, that's not
we
what
try
we
not
here.
To.
That's not what we do here. But yeah, so, I mean, obviously a ton of stuff has happened. I think that our main focus for this particular show, I think, is going to be Celtics and Patriots. I don't think there's too much Red Sox stuff. I mean,
yeah, a little bit, little bit of happening. I mean, last we met, the Red Sox were still in the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, or had just been bumped out.
They had just gotten eliminated. It's the end of October, so they would
have
been out.
Some postseason things that have happened. We don't have to spend a lot of time on them, though.
Yeah, whoa, I just turned myself up too much. I was trying to turn my headphones up. There we go. I don't think there's too much there. And then, obviously, we don't talk Bruins on this show because this would just be a monologue.
Because I know nothing about hockey. Just say it.
It would just be a monologue for me. So what we are going to do, though, spoiler alert, is if you're listening to this show before you listen to Bleed Black and Gold, both are going to have new episodes released today. So if you're listening to this and you want your hockey talk, go over to Bleed Black and Gold. It will be recorded in about an hour and a half from this exact moment, just to give you a peek behind the curtain there. So, but anyway, do you have any quick thoughts? There is one hockey thing I want to talk about because I want to get your opinion on, but overall, check out the Bleed Black and Gold podcast on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm sorry, Apple Podcasts. But do you have any opening thoughts, any leading thoughts?
Well, I've had a few that have been percolating, but a lot of them aren't really current anymore. I've been saving them up, waiting for us to record a podcast. But I'll throw one out real quick, back from the World Series. Have you heard of PETA? People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals?
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard this during the World Series, but they were protesting the use of the term bullpen.
Oh, yeah.
And they wanted to change it to something else. And I wrote down what it was. Give me a second to see if I can find it. But
Keeper of the Arms. No.
It's something like that.
That's not what it is, but... arm barn is what it was.
Arm barn, yes, yeah. Yes.
Honestly,
because bullpens, bulls are herded into pens and slaughtered.
Yeah.
So they were against that. But here's a little piece of information. The term bullpen actually comes from way back in the late 1800s, where pitchers were warming up at some park. There was a big ad with a bull on it right by where they were warming up. Thus the term bullpen. It does not relate to
but that's not woke.
Bulls being slaughtered.
That's not woke.
It's not woke, and it's also not informed. If you're going to be against something, know the derivation of it.
Truthfully, don't hate arm barn. I don't hate that.
That sounds like somewhere you'd go to buy a prosthetic arm at a discount price.
Yeah. Oh, you don't
down to the arm barn.
No, you know what I'm thinking of is Toy Story. The Al's Toy Barn. That's what I'm picturing in my head. That's the guy who's the head of PETA that wants to change it to arm barn.
Maybe that's what I was thinking of.
Was that is that Newman? That's Newman, isn't it?
It was Newman, the guy who did the voice of
the
Newman.
The voice, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so.
So my other one.
Go ahead.
Also not topical. Christmas songs. Which some radio stations were playing Christmas songs like literally a week and a half before Thanksgiving.
I was like, after
they
Halloween.
Started playing 24-hour Christmas songs. It's getting closer and closer to Halloween every year. So that was bad enough in itself. But what aggravates me is the number of Christmas songs which have absolutely... no relevance to Christmas. They don't mention Christmas in the song. It's really not about Christmas, but yet they have become traditional Christmas songs. So I'm going to put it out to our listeners. I've got a list of six. I want to see if our listeners, you can send us something on Twitter or on our Facebook page, on our Facebook group site. See if you can catch how many of those songs that there are.
But is it really... aren't the songs more seasonal? It's more like a winter song.
But some of them aren't.
Like Winter Wonderland.
So why do you only play them at Christmas?
Like Winter Wonderland,
so you got
right?
One. You got one. Why do you play that just at Christmas? Why don't you play that year round?
Baby, it's cold
outside. Or until March.
Nobody wants to hear that kind of music in March.
Because I feel like if we have to hear it in November.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe it's different around here because it's actually cold. Like maybe they just try and play it because it's upbringing music, so you just want to be in a positive upbeat mood. That's why.
Okay, so we can be in a positive, upbeat mood after January 1st when the weather really starts to get crappy around here.
No. That's.
No, we just go into the doldrums until pitchers and catchers report.
Well, it all depends on how well the Bruins and Celtics are doing. That really, and the Patriots, that really depends on the mood around here.
That's a good segue to start talking sports.
It's how good the sports teams are. I should be paid for this. That's how I feel about these segues that I come up with.
Do you have any opening thoughts?
No. I always
prepare after 2.5 months.
No. I always want to have opening thoughts, but then we just get off track, and then we just need to keep talking sports. So I'm just going to keep focusing in on sports. So I want to start with hockey. I know we were going to talk hockey, but I want to start with hockey because I want to get your opinion, not necessarily on the Bruins, but on the decision that the NHL made to not have their players go to the Olympics this year.
Yeah, that's a disappointment for me because I do enjoy Olympic hockey. It's fast-paced, it's a lot of skill over physicality, and it's fun to watch. It's really, really fun to watch. So I am disappointed in that, but I can understand why the NHL did it because at the rate they've had to cancel games, I mean, they had to shut the whole league down around the holidays because of COVID outbreaks. I think that's a necessary evil that they had to do. So a tough business decision, I'm sure. One I can understand, but one I am disappointed that they won't be participating in the Olympics.
What I will say is that as much as I understand it from a business perspective, 100%, but why can't you... Like, they were going to shut it down for the Olympic break. I understand that they then had to do it for COVID. Why can't you let the players decide if they want to go? Why can't you? Why isn't that a thing? Like, what? Like, this is. I mean, Brad Marchand came out and said, you know, this is crap, and I, you know, if I want to go, then I should be able to go and understand the risks. And if I don't make the games, or if I get stuck with COVID, I get trapped over there, and I have to miss games, and I have to give up game checks. Fine, but it should be up to me. It should be my decision on if I want to go. It should be my decision if I want to play. And you know,
yeah,
what?
But
I 100% agree with him.
I don't, because you have a contract to your team to play games. So if your league, if your team in your league allows you to go for a period and they shut down and don't play games, that's one thing. But for players to decide on an individual basis whether or not they're going to go, that's detrimental to the team that they have a contract with. So if Marchand were to go and be gone for 3 weeks because of a play, you know, the travel and playing in the tournament, and then have to stay in that country for another 2 weeks because he had COVID, that's potentially gone for 5 weeks from his team. So I can understand. To me, it's got to be all or nothing. It's going to be the league is all in, or they prevent the players completely from going.
But if the league says that, no, we don't want you to go, and you have an obligation to your team and blah, 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 and then you just say, okay, well, we'll take your game checks. The games that you don't play, you don't get paid. To me, that's a happy medium. That's the only thing that would suck would be for the fan,
You're still hurting your team, right? You're still hurting your team and your fans.
I just think that playing for your country is a big deal. Like I remember when the NHL announced that they weren't going to participate, not this time, but when they had the collective bargaining agreement and they weren't going to participate in the last Olympics. Ovechkin was debating not playing that year in order to play in the Olympics. He just wasn't going to play in the NHL. He was going to go play in the KHL for the year and then play in the Olympics because they would have allowed it. Like, that's how big of a deal it is. And how about a player like, I don't know, like the first one that came to my mind was David Pastrnak. And we will talk about this on the Bleed Black and Gold podcast, but so I don't want to give it away too much. But if I think of a player like David Pastrnak, who was too young the last time the NHL players were allowed to play in the Olympics, because they haven't in the last two Olympics.
2014, I think, was the last time they
went.
Okay,
so he wasn't even old enough to play. This would have been his probably his prime opportunity in order to play for the Czech Republic. Now he can't do it. And now in another 4 years, I mean, yes, he's still going to be – he might be able to play, but he's not going to be able to play during his prime years. It just seems like you're taking something away from players I just think playing for your country is a big deal. And playing in the Olympics and the World Cup is one thing, but to be able to play in the Olympics, and you see the junior players who play in the World Juniors, which also got canceled this year, and it just seems like it's such a good thing to let these guys do, and the NHL is just kind of being like, nah, forget you, it doesn't matter.
Well, I think it's also a good marketing tool for the NHL. You're getting people like me who don't normally watch hockey, but you'll watch it because it's got that nationalism tied into it of watching the sport, and it's a great showcase for the sport. You know, at the same time, we're living in strange times when you have to sacrifice some things, you know, overall. You know who I feel more bad is kids in high school who lost out on their senior year of sports because of COVID. Yeah. Those are the ones I feel bad for, not the guys making multimillion. Millions of dollars.
I don't disagree, but I also, you talk about the marketability of it, and you just think back to, obviously, like, the biggest Olympic moment is obviously 1980. Like, I wasn't even born then, but that's one of the biggest moments because of the political stage, because of all that. That's one of the biggest Olympic moments in the history of the country. And then you think about the was it Sochi Olympics? And you had TJ Oshie going and doing the shootout and went like six rounds in a row, and that was a huge thing then. It was on ESPN. It was all over the place.
But the 1980 Olympics, those weren't NHL players.
I know, no,
NHL
I know.
Players
I know
weren't allowed in at that time.
I know they weren't. I know they weren't. But it's still, I mean, that was the, I'm talking about like big moments, memorable Olympic moments.
No, absolutely.
And I mean that was one that was before they were even allowed to play. But that, I would say that the TJ Oshie thing is probably the biggest Olympic moment in my lifetime, short of Michael Phelps. But nobody cares about swimming. So short of Michael Phelps, TJ Oshie in this, I'm pretty sure it was Sochi. So I could be wrong there. But that shootout, and you just remember.
I remember that. No, yes. I remember that. But I'll tell you, the 1980 Olympic, that does not come anywhere near the 1980 Olympics.
No. But no.
I mean, the way that gripped the country. I don't think any sporting event has gripped the country the way that did at that time. It was the perfect time and the perfect setting for what happened.
I wasn't even alive, first of all. And
I happen to know that.
That's true. Good point. Listeners, I wasn't even alive. It was 9 years before I was born. But just watching the movie, you get captivated and you get pulled into it. Never mind being a part of it and living it and all that. But
there were so many nuances to it, too. I mean, the game wasn't shown live on TV. I wrote an article about it, too, if you want to check it out. I don't know if we still have it up on the website. I wrote an article for the 40th anniversary.
It's awesome.
But, yeah, there are just so many subtle nuances to that 1980 story that I just can't convey it to anybody like you who wasn't alive at the time. I hate to sound like, you know, the old bastard, but you can't understand. You can't fully understand it. You had to live it. But just take my word for it. It was the biggest Olympic event that I've seen in my lifetime.
My point was, I bring up the 80 Olympics only because the TJ Oshie thing was probably the most remembered Olympic moment for hockey, aside from 1980. That's the only reason why I bring it up. Not that I remember it, obviously. And obviously they're nowhere close to the same magnitude. It's just the fact of letting these players play and letting these guys could play for their country. And I think it's a shame. I really, really do. Everyone was pumped when the NHL said they were going to go. And now we're let down.
But that's the COVID world we live in.
No, I know. I get it.
Like, you have to change on the fly. I get the hockey term.
I get the business part. I just don't like it, which I'm entitled to do because I don't have to make any decisions about it. So
I agree with you. I don't like it either. But at the same time, I can understand it.
Let's talk about anything you want to talk about with baseball.
Why don't we just hit on real quick, since the Red Sox stopped playing, probably the biggest news was the loss of Eduardo Rodriguez to free agency. He kind of bolted out of town, got out of town in a hurry, I thought. And for what I thought was relatively cheap money, I think it was something along the lines of 5 years, 70-something million. Seems like he wanted out of Boston for some reason, and I always thought he was tight with Alex Cora. So that's probably the biggest news aside from what's happening in baseball with the lockout right now. So there's nothing going on, absolutely nothing going on in baseball right now on any front.
$15.4 million was his annual hit. So it was five for 77.
Coming off of, by all accounts, was a down year for him. Coming off of a year where he didn't play at all because of COVID in the shortened season.
Why would you want to go to Detroit?
To go to Detroit. Detroit is building. They signed a few other free agents. So they're a team on the rise. Mm. But still, I mean, I can't believe the Red Sox couldn't have countered with something maybe shorter term, more money. They're going to be the Red Sox are going to be flush with cash. And then right now they should be in good shape luxury tax wise. And they're going to be flush with cash over the next few years when they have some big expiring contracts coming off the books like J.D. Martinez. So, yeah. That was a really surprising move that he bailed so quickly, and you know I you don't know, but you got to assume the Red Sox just let him go.
Yeah, you have to assume that for that money that they must have just said no, thank you, we're all set.
Yeah, I got to believe it's the length of the contract more than the money.
And he also must have not wanted to come back here. It must have been a mutual decision to let him move on.
To a certain extent, right?
Yeah, to let him move on because I agree.
But the good news is, right before the lockout happened, they reacquired Jackie Bradley Jr.
Oh, good. Yeah. Oh no, thank God.
So let the hate begin.
Yeah. No, because there's not many people that I would rather have on my team than Hunter. I mean, that I wouldn't rather have on my team than Hunter Renfro. Jackie Bradley Jr. is probably one of them. Like, oh good. Please tell me about all the great catches he's going to make in center field this year. Please. I don't have to tell you
about the great catches he's going to make. I'll tell you about the catches that he makes look routine that other people can't make.
No, I don't care.
That saves a pitching staff. But we don't need to have that argument. What I think they did do was I think they sold on the cheap for Hunter Renfro. I have to believe they could have gotten more for him.
100%. Or why not just have him return?
And that seemed like another one that they just wanted to ship him out of town.
Why wouldn't you just have him return? Why wouldn't you have him come back?
Because he was a meathead.
And?
Well, I mean, we talk about Jackie Bradley making great catches. Hunter Renfro made some great catches, made some great throws. He also made some horrendous plays, the little plays, the fundamental plays that help you win ball games. He doesn't make those plays. He overthrows cutoff men. He lets men get into scoring position. Those are the little things that people don't see. They see the great highlight catches on ESPN on the top 10 every day. They don't see those little plays. Those are the kind of things that if you really watch the games, you'd see that Hunter Renfrow was not a good fundamental player.
You're going to tell me you'd rather
and
have Jackie Bradley Jr.
than Hunter
Renfrow.
Playoffs. Totally disappeared in the playoffs.
Most of the team disappeared in the playoffs. Would you rather have you'd rather have Jackie Bradley Jr. than Hunter Renfrow?
I don't see it as an either or.
When they get traded
so
for each other,
I would not have traded Renfrow for Bradley. Am I happy Bradley is back? Yes. I've been open and honest.
Another guy to
my...
hit sub 200? Like, is that
I'm
really
not talking about his hitting. I could watch him play center field all day long.
That's only half the game.
I understand that. But that's a huge contribution that I think he can make that offsets his hitting. And I don't see him being the everyday center fielder, which they don't have right now, by the way.
Which makes
unless
it even worse.
PK Hernandez.
Which makes it even worse that you traded probably your everyday right fielder.
They sold low on Renfrow. Funny. So if you're looking at it as a one-for-one, no, I don't like the deal. But I am happy Bradley is back because I think he was sorely missed in center field last year, as well as Kike played at times.
I could do without.
Agree to disagree.
I can't. Jackie Bradley Jr. to me is the Marcus Smart of the Boston Red Sox. That's how I feel. That's like he just blech. Everybody loves him for no reason whatsoever.
No, everybody doesn't love him. Well, I think most people can't stand him.
Which one, Jackie Bradley or Marcus Smart?
Bradley.
Oh, those would be the smart.
Because I think they just look at his offense.
No, I mean obviously you have to look at the whole. You have to look at the whole thing. But at the same time, like you can. I would sacrifice a little bit on the defense so you could at least hit your weight. Like that is something that I would do. Give me a above average center fielder who can hit 200. Not a very good defensive center fielder who can't hit his weight.
That can hit 200?
Yeah.
I mean that's pretty much what you got from Bradley.
That's what I'm saying is that he sucks. No, Bradley hit like a buck.
I thought you said give me an above average center fielder that can hit 200.
Bradley can't hit 200. He hit like a buck 60 last year.
Last year, blows. But I mean, Bradley with the blows. Red Sox, his average was probably about 220.
Lost.
His career average with the Red Sox.
Absolutely lost at the plate.
But as a fourth outfielder, I'll take him. I don't care what you're paying him. I'll take him as a fourth outfielder.
Can he run
it's
the
not
bases?
Coming out of my pocket.
I don't even know. Can he run the bases?
Yeah, he can run the bases.
All right, so he could be a late inning substitution. Great. What's that contract look like?
Oh, I think he's getting something like $12 million a year. Oh. It's a lot of money for a fourth outfielder.
Oh, yeah, no, good use. But two years, $12 million. Two years, $24 million. Red Sox owe him $9.5 million with a $12 million mutual option on the books for 2023.
And I think Renfrow, they were probably looking at about $6 million in arbitration. Mm. They had him under control. No, it's not a great deal. I'm admitting that it's not a great deal. I don't like the deal.
163 he hit last year.
Yeah, but what's his career average?
230. Not great.
Oh, well, that's better than 200.
Not great.
So you should love him.
Nope. I meant last year. All right.
Not great, Bob.
Not great. Let's see. 283 in 2020. That's his highest of his career.
That was only a 60-game season.
He only played 55 games.
There you go.
God
so the
blows.
Bottom line with the Red Sox, before we get too far into the Jackie Bradley Jr. talk, we may not see them for a while because the way the lockout is going, the two sides aren't even talking. They can't even agree on what color the sky is. So we probably will have a delayed start to spring training. Who knows what's going to happen for the start of the regular season?
Yeah. I mean, who knows with COVID anyway, but I don't necessarily, I mean, wouldn't pitchers and catchers report in like a month?
Normally they'd report right around Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so it's about a month.
Yeah.
Not looking great. Not looking great.
Nope, not at all.
Speaking of not looking great, let's move on to the Celtics. Arguably the least liked team in the city right now, in my opinion.
And well deserved.
In my opinion. And
well deserved.
I don't mind if you're bad. I don't mind if you're a bad team. The Red Sox were a bad team a couple years ago. The Bruins have been bad teams. Not recently, but they were bad teams. Not too far ago. Patriots, whatever. But this team is just unlikable. Like, there's nothing about this team that gets you excited to watch. Now, I remember, I think it was Christmas Day, we were talking, and I said, I don't think I've watched a Celtics game all season. That has since changed because I've been trying to figure out what is going on with the Celtics, and they're just not good.
They're almost unwatchable.
Very much so.
I don't know how many – I mean, basketball, the thing with basketball is they say you can just watch the last 5 minutes and you've seen the whole game.
Not
how many
true
times,
with the Celtics.
I don't know how many times I've turned on a Celtics game. It's maybe halftime, right before halftime. They've got a huge lead. You check in on them in the fourth quarter, it's tied. I mean, you can just – you can see it coming. Even if you're watching it, you can see it coming a mile away. They get this big lead. They stop doing whatever it was that got them the big lead. Start playing hero ball, and they just it just slowly evaporates time after time after time. And they're not good enough that they can turn it around and stop another team from making a run and recapture the lead or hold on to a lead. And how many times do we have to see them? You know, I think I saw some stat from them on how many games they've lost by, like, less than 5 points. And it's just ridiculous.
That's because
their
can't,
record is in games like that. They can't close the game.
They can't come out of the break. They can't come out of the half. That's what it is.
That. Even if you're in the – they've got nobody who can take over a game. I see so many teams that have players like a Joel Embiid back in the days, Michael Jordan or Larry Bird. They could just take over a game. They wanted the ball at the end. Everybody knew they were going to get the ball, and you couldn't stop them. Celtics don't have anybody like that.
You know what,
they don't have anybody that wants the ball in those situations and has the stones to make the plays.
I had this conversation at work, and it was a two-part conversation. The first part was, does coaching matter in the NBA? And I'm very, very adamant that I could put a suit on and go coach in the NBA. Like, I truthfully believe that. If you give me the thing about the NBA is you need the best three players. If your three best players are better than the other team's best three players, I would say you're going to win. The exception this year might be the Lakers, because I don't know what exactly is going on there. But in my opinion, if your best three are better than the other team's best three, you're probably going to win. And coaching, don't really think it matters much.
Not as much in the NBA.
And the only reason why I say that now is because you look at someone like Brad Stevens, who was a tactical coach, a play-driven coach, a team-driven coach, because he's coming out of college, and nobody wanted to play for him, allegedly. Like, they wanted to play for him so little bit that they promoted him. They didn't want to fire him, so they promoted him. Now they bring in Udoka. Has he done anything? Has he said anything? Calls the team out, doesn't matter. They still suck. Coaching means nothing. I'm sorry, Celtics fans, but the problem is that your best three players are Jason Tatum, legitimate, probably going to be a major, major superstar in the NBA, legitimate player. Jaylen Brown, not that good. I'll give you a half on Jaylen Brown because he's not consistent. There's no consistency there whatsoever.
Well, Tatum hasn't been consistent this year. Tatum got off to a horrendous start.
Tatum was like fifth in scoring in the NBA.
Yeah, but early on in the season, he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
And then he got sick. He had COVID or was close contact or something. I don't know. But to me, Jaylen Brown, not that good. You have 1.5 players, and Marcus Smart is your third best player.
We know what you think of Mark.
I'm not even going to be a wise guy here and play into it. But what I'm telling you, what I'm saying is that your best three is just not good enough. And
you know what their biggest problem is? I think they could be good enough. They don't play well together. They don't play off each other.
Which got me to the second point.
They don't mesh well. And I think somebody's got to go so you can try to get in that type of player that I was talking about before that rises to that level at the end of the game. Somebody that you can feed the ball. I don't think either one of them are that player right now, and I don't know if either one of them can become that player. I don't know if that's necessarily something that you can develop or it's something that you just have.
See, I don't think
either one has it.
I think Tatum can be that player. I think Tatum can be that kind of player, but what I think Tatum needs to do is spend the entire offseason watching every single game Giannis Antetokounmpo has played ever. Every NBA game that he's played, and watch the way he drives the rim, he takes the ball to the hoop, watch the way that he attacks defenses, and that's what he needs to put into his game, because Tatum is the guy that gets the ball at the end of the game most of the time, unless Marcus Smart jacks up a stupid three. Tatum's the guy that's got to have the ball. Tatum's the guy that's got to take the last shot. Tatum's the guy that's got to be that guy to take over.
But how many times do you see there's 14 seconds left on the clock? They inbound it to Tatum. He dribbles out way up near the logo at center court until there's like 3 seconds left on the clock, and then he goes to make a move and then puts up a shot.
Yeah, a three. A three. That's what I'm saying.
A three or even inside the arc, but puts up a shot. They don't work for good shots.
He needs to figure out how to attack the rim to play inside. But, I mean, don't forget, he's only 23 years old. Like, it feels like he's been in the league forever. He's 23. So there's room there. There's room to be able to grow. There's the ability. There's the maturity to be able to become a player like that, in my opinion. My second point was, to me, where the Celtics are at this year and over the last four years now, they're just not that team. It's time to make the moves. Now is the time to do it. You're not going to compete. You're not going to be in you might make the playoffs. Maybe you're 10th, I think, right now in the East. You might be able to get into the playoffs. Everybody's got to go except Tatum. Build around Tatum. Get rid of Brown. Get rid of Smart. Get rid of maybe keep the Time Lord. That he might be something I would want to build around.
Anybody is the most enjoyable player for me to watch on the team.
Well, he's exciting. And he's got a tenacity about him, and that's about it.
Yeah. That's it.
That's about it.
That's a good term, tenacity. Yeah, that's something that I don't see from either Brown or Tatum.
Yeah, but Williams doesn't have half the talent, I don't think.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But not everybody has to be a superstar. Everybody has to be Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen. You need a Dennis Rodman to get those rebounds.
He might be a Rodman.
He might be a Rodman. He might be better than Rodman. He can block shots. He can the Duke in Sky. He is an athletic freak.
He is.
He's just not a scorer.
He is. And maybe he becomes your third piece, but your second piece needs to be better than Jaylen Brown. It needs to be. It absolutely needs to be. I don't know who it is, so I'm not sitting here saying, and I don't think that they should even really go for someone like, I don't know, Damian Lillard or something like that. I'm not even saying, because I don't think the assets that you're going to have to give up to get something like that is worth it. What I'm saying is it's time for you to cash in on Jaylen Brown. That's ultimately what I think. And Marcus Smart.
But you're gonna have to package him with something to get something. And you had all those draft picks all those years, and you squandered them. You know, you didn't select well. You didn't give up the picks. You hoarded them. Now you're stuck with all those players. And where are most of them? Playing up in Maine.
Yeah.
Still playing in Europe.
Yep.
So this is not an easy fix for Brad. He was not left with an enviable position.
No. He wasn't. But I think now, to me, it's just now's the time. It's the time to do it. You have still a new coach. Just like, let's.
Do you think Udoka lasts the season?
I do.
He'll last the season, but do you think he'll be back next year?
I do.
You think they'll bring him back in?
I do. I for some reason, I feel, I feel like, especially the Celtics, maybe it's Wick. They just hold on to coaches. Stevens may have outlasted his welcome. I love Stevens. I think Stevens should just go back to coaching. I think it clearly didn't work, but
I thought last year that the players had tuned him out, and I thought that bringing in Udoka was going to be a kick in the butt for the players.
How's that
looking? But what scared me was right from the start was they got the players' buy-in on whether they could bring him in. It's like, why even bother to have a coach? Just have somebody on the team be like the player coach and make substitutions, because it's a free for all.
Yeah, that's LeBron. That's what LeBron does. I'm not saying that Tatum's anywhere near LeBron. But that's what I'm saying. The coaching doesn't matter. My two takeaways from the Celtics: coaching doesn't matter, and it's time to trade Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. But that's the smart thing's a. Might be a selfish part of it. But it's 100% time, in my opinion, to move on from Jaylen Brown.
The most infuriating thing about them is you see signs of what they can play like. You see them moving the ball, and you think, oh, man, this looks good. And then it's just gone. And it's gone for long periods, too. It's like, what happened? And they just can't seem to not even put a string of good games together. They can't even put a string of four quarters together.
Yeah, or to me, it's second halves. To me, you watch them, they're good in the first half, and then all of a sudden, they're terrible in the second half. And I don't understand it. I really, really don't. Really don't get it. But anyway, Celtics, jeez, we just talked about the Celtics for forever. Patriots.
Let's move on. Yes, another great topic.
Let's move on to the Patriots. So they get themselves into the playoffs. They end up as the sixth seed?
Sixth seed, yep. Second wild card. Not too long ago, they were the first seed.
Yeah, seriously. Sputtered a little bit down the stretch here.
That's a nice way of saying they pooped their pants.
Yeah. Well, you know, rookie quarterback. Overall.
Rookie quarterback, but there was a little bit of smoke and mirrors that got them into the number one spot that they were in. I think it was a bit of a fraud show for them to be where they were. A lot of pieces fell into place that got them there that they didn't really earn. And I'm talking about playing against competition that was decimated by injury, catching them at the right time, playing Buffalo for the first time in a hurricane, which took away Buffalo's passing game. Those were the type of things that helped them get to that number one spot. But then when the playing field was leveled more, it showed their true colors.
I feel like I want to agree with you, but I also feel like I don't know if I agree with you, because I look at it as when they played the Cowboys. So I'll go all the way back to the Cowboys game. They hung with a good Cowboys team. The Cowboys offense is unbelievable. They gave up 35 points to that team. They hung with the Bucks.
Again, in a rainstorm. With Brady overthrowing people left and right. The Cowboys game was a rainstorm too, if I recall.
No, it wasn't.
There wasn't weather conditions in that game?
No. It was slightly cold for October, but no, it was. There weren't weather conditions. They blew out the Titans. Now you can tell me that
who were decimated by injury.
They were decimated by injury all season,
that game
and they
was,
finished
that game
with
was
the one
tight
seed.
And in question up until late in the third quarter. It wasn't a true blowout.
They handled the Titans.
They blow out the Jets. They blow out the Jaguars. Everybody's ready to have a party and put them in the Super Bowl.
No. They beat the Titans. They shut out the Falcons. They beat the Titans. They beat the Bills, and everyone's ready to put them in the Super Bowl. And then they throw up an absolute.
They beat Cleveland, who was missing all their running backs.
That was before the Falcons.
Right.
That was before the Falcons. And then they play the Colts, and well. That didn't really go so well. But it also didn't really work out for the Colts in the long run either. Then the Bills, and
then blew out the Jaguars.
And then blew out the Jaguars. And then lost to the Dolphins. Which I'm convinced that the Dolphins... I'll hold that thought. I'm convinced that the game in Miami is just a scheduled loss. Every single season, it feels like it's a scheduled loss. Why? I don't know. But just, for whatever reason, they don't
travel
well.
There's just demons down there that they do not play well.
Yeah, they just don't travel well. And that's, which is weird, because it seems like they just didn't travel well to there this year. Because, I mean, they were a pretty damn good team on the road. It just didn't really work out yesterday. And it's amazing. Like, I forget who said it, but someone tweeted it. And it's amazing to me that when this Patriots team looks good and is firing on all cylinders, they honestly look like they could go toe-to-toe with pretty much anybody in the league. But when they start to puke on themselves, they can beat themselves like nobody else in the league.
And I'm glad you said that beat themselves, because I did want to say that is something that Patriots teams of the past never did.
Right.
They did not beat themselves.
But it's been like
that
all season.
How many times
this
year would we see exactly stupid penalties at the wrong time, special teams mistakes, three blocked punts on the season? If the special teams coordinator does not get fired at the end of this season, there is something seriously going on there. And with all the penalties that they had on special teams
this year,
too many men on the field penalties, calling timeouts, getting a delay of game after you're coming out of a timeout, just things that Patriot teams never did traditionally. And I'm not putting it on a rookie quarterback, because these were things that the defense was doing too. Stupid, unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. It just very unpatriot-like.
Yeah, but there. specifically yesterday's game, I think there were some things that was rookie quarterback, like fumbling of the snap, the first interception. Sure, that was a brutal throw and a brutal defensive read, and it was just it just wasn't good.
But yet they were in a position to potentially tie that game up late in the fourth quarter, and the defense couldn't stop Miami.
Right.
Couldn't stop them from getting a first down.
Right.
The same thing happened in the Colts game.
The QB draw.
Couldn't stop the Colts late in the game, and then gave up a 70-something yard touchdown run. That happened so many times this year. So it's not just the rookie quarterback. It's the defense that let them down in this late game. Where has Matt Judon been for the last month? He has pulled a disappearing act. If he wasn't wearing red sleeves, you probably wouldn't even notice him on the field.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I mean, I don't know. You don't know about injuries and stuff, but it almost seems like he like just all of a sudden got hurt and doesn't have the speed. Like, can't get around players, can't get through guys, and can't come off the edge. And
hasn't been setting the edge. He's been getting too far upfield. You know, on the play in the Miami game where Tua scrambled for the first down late in the game, he took a bad angle on him and missed him completely and whiffed on the tackle when he should have been able to make that stop. And how many times this year have you seen teams just sweep right around the edge? He was supposed to be setting the edge earlier in the season. He was, but in the last six games, they've been running like crazy around them. So yeah, I hope it's an injury, but something definitely happened.
We don't hope it's an injury.
Well, I hope it explains why his play dropped off.
Yeah, you know that. I mean that it's got to be. I mean, it doesn't have to be something, but that's the first thing you think of when you see such a drastic drop off. Is that, you know, well, what's going on with this? What's going on? What's like? How does this happen? But anyway,
and you also look and you see that they're running away from him.
Yeah, they're going. You know, yeah, they're
teams
they're going
are scheming around him. They're double teaming him.
Yep. Yeah.
Sometimes that can lead to frustration and him overcommitting on plays or losing his assignment.
Yeah,
so
that doesn't happen to good players, though. So
no, it shouldn't, and it doesn't happen to well coached players.
Right.
I'll say that.
You're right, though, with the penalty stuff, and it's like you would expect. Like, I want to say there was didn't somebody jump offside yesterday? Maybe it wasn't even yesterday. Maybe it was a different game. I'm thinking of the Bills game. It was like a fourth and one, and you can't jump. You know that they're trying to get you to jump, and a rookie jumps offside. But it was
They also had a fourth and one where they had the ball, and somebody did a false start.
Mac did it.
Did he do the? I know somebody had a false start.
He got under center and he full on took it like he was gonna. He jacked his arms up like he was taking the snap and didn't hike the ball. So I don't know if that was done intentionally. I don't.
And it wasn't just that game. It's been happening.
We'll
call it a losing streak because we'll pretend that Jacksonville game didn't even happen.
Yeah. Well, my ultimate point is that you can. I don't want to say expect those things, but you can understand those kind of things happening from a rookie. I think it's Barmore who's been doing it a lot, jumping off sides, neutral zone infractions. But yesterday, Brandon Bolden gets a penalty against the punter.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff that you're – I mean, it may have been weak. Sure, it may have been weak. But that's the kind of
stuff I don't think it was. He led with his helmet. Whether he made contact or not is irrelevant. The runner was sliding and giving himself up. He led with his helmet. That should get a flag.
I think it was weak, personally.
The pass interference call in the end zone was a different story, but I know it's not your point. No, it was another special teams. You shouldn't even let the game be decided by the referees.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, every game to me is decided by the referees. I feel like every game is just hawk the ball up and then everyone throw your arms up in the air like you're calling for the ref to throw his flag. That's more than half of the NFL now is part of the strategy is to just.
Is to just throw
the ball deep and then do the stupid throw the flag thing. The receiver's sitting on the ground. The ball was thrown 15 yards over his head, and he's with his arms out looking for a flag. There's not a defender within 5 feet of him, but he's calling for a flag. It just feels like that's the way to get downfield. Is just huck it up and pray for a PI. And it feels like it works most of the time, honestly.
Well, it worked for the Patriots when they were trying to get back into the game towards the end. It was even in the same end zone. It was almost the identical play, and the call went their way. So,
yep.
If you're going to complain about the one that went against them, you got to complain about the one they got.
Well, it's a makeup call. I mean, you got to think it's because that ended up leading to I don't know. I don't think it was a touchdown. I think it was a field goal. But anyway, it's led to a Miami score. But the way the drive that they came down where Mac made, it was like four or five straight passes down the field. I want to say it was in two separate drives. They had the throw to the far sideline and then a throw to the near sideline, where I think it was Jacoby Myers made the diving catch. Someone made a catch. It might have been Myers again. Catch
Hunter
on
Henry.
The sideline.
Hunter Henry made one too.
Good-looking drives. Good-looking drives. And right. And something to at least look forward to come playoffs. I want to get your opinion all in all on the team.
Can I just go back to that for a second?
Yes.
Miami had a two-touchdown lead.
So they
were playing a softer defense. They're letting you complete balls in the middle of the field to run time off the clock.
So you got to
take that into consideration a little bit. But no, I was hoping that maybe they'd let the kid throw a little bit more and turn the game more over to him to see what he can do, which they did to a certain extent. But I don't think they fully gave him the keys and let him run with things. Maybe he's not ready to be there yet. I don't know.
What is your overall assessment? I don't really care so much about the whole team, I don't think, right now, but. Because I'm sure we'll talk about the overall season once they get eliminated. Whenever the season ends, you don't want to put a curse on them and say they're not going to be able to win the Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
Well, win the Super Bowl? Come on.
Thoughts on Mac throughout the year?
I think he's been, for a rookie, outstanding.
I think he's the guy?
I'm not sure yet. What concerns me, I think mentally, he's been far ahead of any rookie quarterback. He's been able to handle that part of the game. Physically, I'm not sold that he has the tools. I've been concerned with his arm strength most of the year. I think it's decreased. I think the fact in that game in Buffalo, he only threw three passes, and they didn't even trust him to throw the ball with the wind at his back, speaks to what they think about his arm strength and his ability to throw. So, yeah, I don't know if he's quite the guy. I'm not saying you go into the draft next year to get a quarterback. I don't even know who the top quarterback coming out of the draft is. There's nobody touted right now.
The kid from Alabama?
I don't know. He's still got – he's not a – I don't think he's going into the draft. So, yeah, is he the guy? He's your guy for the next couple of years at least. I think you're going to have to ride with him and hope that maybe physically he can work his way up and get where he needs to be. But right now, he's not there.
I was trying to look at who the top quarterbacks were, and it doesn't look like a very...
It's not a great draft class.
Ole Miss's quarterback is the top-ranked quarterback.
I think the kid from the defensive end from Michigan is probably touted as the number
one. I'm just looking at quarterbacks.
It's not a loaded crop like you had coming out last year.
You do have some quarterbacks that might be on the move, should you decide to go that way.
Aaron Rodgers, he can stay wherever he is now.
I'd take that in about 2 seconds.
I don't know if I'd give up developing Mac to bring in a head case.
No. I don't think so. I think I feel the same way about Mac that I feel about how I just talked about Tatum. Now, Mac doesn't quite have the talent that Tatum has, but I think that Mac could be that guy. I think he could be the guy. And I think
with talent around him, you can win a lot of games.
He's
not somebody like a Patrick Mahomes that can win a game on his own, or a Lamar Jackson can win a game on his own strictly with his talent.
You know, I think, I'm not saying please, but it reminds me of Brady. Not necessarily the most talented player, but smart.
Right.
Smart. Understands the game.
Yep.
With some experience, with being able to read defenses, will understand how to win. And I up until maybe the last, 3 years, I don't think Brady thought he was bigger than the game. That has since changed, in my opinion.
Dramatically.
But I feel like Mac looks at the game the same way and looks at it as I genuinely think he just wants to win. And I think that's probably the most important piece. And I say that, you say with the talent around him, I mean, look what he did at Alabama. When that offense is basically all in the NFL now, that's talent.
Yeah, yeah.
That's talent around you, and look what he did there. So I think you're right. I think with the talent, and I think that there's talent around him here. I just don't think that necessarily it's going to be, once. I mean,
well,
let's put it this way.
If the defense had played up to where we thought it was, They would probably have two or three more wins.
Yeah, they probably
win two
more.
Have, and they would have easily won the division, and they may have been the number one seed.
Yeah, they don't lose to Miami either time. Basically, is how I look at it.
And you probably don't lose to the Colts either.
The Colts defense is pretty damn good, and I think the Colts defense is kind of what won them that game.
But you were still within a touchdown of them, and all you needed was a stop to potentially tie up or win that game, and the defense couldn't stop them. So
you're right. I'm not
going to put all their fortunes on Mac Jones. I think they need to get more athletic on defense. You've got an aging secondary. You've got some slow linebackers. You've had slow linebackers for the past 3 or 4 years. You need to get faster and more athletic at both positions.
Do you give him any chance this weekend against the Bills?
I give him a 25% chance.
It's going to be real cold.
It is.
Buffalo. Real cold.
I'm sure they'll try to rely on the running game.
They have a hot. There's a high of 15 Saturday. That's during the day.
That's like tropical for Buffalo in January.
That's during the day, not at 8:15 at night. They did Buffalo and New England dirty by putting them at the night game and not having them play the 4 o'clock game.
Yeah, they used to care about things like that when they scheduled playoff games. They don't anymore. It's all about
now there's a Monday night game. How stupid is the NFL for having a Monday night game?
It's all about the Benjamins.
And here's the thing. Who plays the four? Is there a chance? Is there a possibility? I don't know the answer to this. I'm asking objectively. That the team who plays at 4 o'clock in game one on Saturday could potentially play the game who plays on Monday. Is that possible?
No.
Is it two games?
Play Saturday and then Monday?
No. There's two games on Saturday, right? There's the Patriots game. Let me look it up. And there's the – nope, it's AFC teams. So never mind. That can't happen. What I was saying was, would it be possible that the team that plays on Saturday, the winner of the game on Saturday, could end up playing the winner of the game on Monday the following week?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Where you get 2 days extra rest.
I suppose it's – and it's also possible that whoever plays on Monday has to come back and play Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think they would do the following that.
Week. I wouldn't think so either, but –
maybe there's two games.
Anything is possible.
That's true.
But yeah, the Monday night playoff game is something brand new this year.
It's stupid. It's so dumb. Why have two games on Saturday, three on Sunday, and one on Monday? Just do 3 and 3. Like, that's enough. At least they were smart enough to make it a West Coast team, two West Coast teams. So at least it's a 5 o'clock game out there Monday for the.
That's not going to help us here on the East Coast.
No, but
let's stay up and watch the game.
No. But
last night I went to bed thinking the Raiders had it was
let
like
me
a
tell you,
20 more than a touchdown lead. I'm like, oh, this game is over.
Then I get up
in the morning, see that the game went into overtime and almost ended in a tie.
The game should have ended in a tie. Remember we talked about this when I was at the house yesterday. They should have just knelt all game. So. Did you see it? Did you go back and watch what happened?
No, I didn't. I read about it. I don't know all the details.
So I'm dumb enough to stay up to watch this kind of stuff because I enjoy this kind of stuff, and I'm probably going to be awake anyway. But I enjoy this kind of stuff. And I legitimately thought both teams should have just taken a knee the whole game and said, screw you, Pittsburgh and Big Ben. Like, ha, you're not getting into the playoffs. Forget you. But no, they didn't. They played out. And then Justin Herbert was incredible. In the last drive of that game, it felt like he went to a two minute drill, brought them down. They needed to score. They needed seven. They were down seven. They needed to score. He must have had. I'm telling you, you know how the last 2 minutes of an NBA game takes half an hour? That's how this felt to me. It felt like this was taking forever to happen, just because it was like the anticipation of what is going to happen here. Is this kid going to do it? He must have had at least 4 fourth downs and probably 3 fourth and 10s and converted all of them. He was incredible. Now, I don't know if the Raiders were playing a little lackluster defense, thinking like, okay, this could actually become a tie here and we might actually be able to both get in, because I don't know why both teams wouldn't have just came to an agreement to just tie and both of you get in. I don't understand it. Anyway, the Raiders, the whole overtime happens. The entire overtime happens, all 10 minutes. The Raiders have the ball with, I don't know, 45 seconds left. They were going to run the clock out and take a tie. The Chargers coach calls a timeout.
I did see
that. The whole game plan changed for the Raiders. They were like, okay, fine. They ran a running play. They ran it up the gut, and Josh Jacobs just bounced it to the outside, got like 15 yards, and then they kicked the game-winning field goal with 2 seconds left. All the coach had to do, the Raiders weren't going to call a timeout. All the coach had to do was let it go. And then after the game, you can see one of the Charger players say, were you going to take a knee, to one of the Raiders players? And he said,
yeah.
Yes.
He said, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Are you kidding me? After you just watched your young quarterback drive you down the field in a two-minute drill against a division rival, and you're going to screw it up for him like that? All you had to do was wait. I couldn't even watch the post game because I was so mad at the coach for doing it to Herbert. Herbert, by the way, is going to be a top five quarterback in this league. His arm
Kid's a
strength.
Stud. Kid's
oh,
a stud.
My. Like Aaron Rodgers has ridiculous arm strength. He might have the best arm in the league. Rodgers and Mahomes have his arm is unbelievable.
Throw Josh Allen in there too.
Fine. But he may have the best arm in the league. And it sucks that he's on the West Coast because I don't watch as many of the Chargers games as I should, because he was incredible last night and the coach ruined it for him.
So let's bring this back to the Patriots. Do you see Mac Jones being in a position like that next year where he can drive that team and make plays like that? Do you think he can be at that level next year?
No, not in that fashion. It was incredible to watch. Like his decision making was on point. Did you see the touchdown pass? He threw it between two defenders, and I swear if you put a radar gun on him, it was probably Pedro Martinez-esque. 95, 96 miles an hour. It was a bullet, a foot off the ground. It was incredible. The whole drive was just, I don't think Mac's that type of quarterback. That's not the way that he's, I mean, could he drive the team down in a 2 minute drill? Yes. Could he do it in that fashion? No. Do you have faith in Mac Jones on a 4th and 10 three times? No, I don't. 4th and 2. 4th and 4, maybe. A little dink and dunk, a little screen
but
pass.
But we won't know because he wasn't put in that situation at all this year.
No. And
the defense couldn't get him into that situation.
I tell you, if I'm a Chargers fan right now, I'm calling for Coach's job. I don't even know who the coach is. The young guy, he's probably going to be there for a while because he's got Herbert. But I would be very, 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 very upset with my head coach after that game. Which, today is, what do they call it in the NFL? Is it Black Monday?
Black Monday.
Today's Black Monday, and no surprises for me personally here, looking at some of these names like Zimmer getting canned out of Minnesota, Nagy getting canned out of Chicago, and Brian Flores getting canned. Wait, what?
That was a surprise.
Wait, what?
That was a surprise.
That was exactly what happened. I got the notifications. It came in through ESPN, and that was the order I got them in. Zimmer fired, Nagy fired, Brian Flores. Wait a second. What? You just had back-to-back winning seasons for Miami. You're turning that organization around. They fire him?
8 out of his last 9 games.
You fire him?
Yeah.
What?
Fired him and kept the GM who drafted Tua in the first
round. Tua was the pick at the time. He was the pick at the time.
He was also injured at the time, if you recall.
Correct. He was. But he was the pick at the time. Ryan Bessie texted me today saying, how much you want to bet Flores is on the coaching staff for the Patriots before Saturday's game?
Could happen. It could happen. I don't. He'll get another head coaching job.
Oh, are you kidding me? How do you not go to Denver? How do you not go to Denver?
Yeah.
Go to Denver. Get yourself a quarterback. One of these quarterbacks.
Go to Buffalo. Buffalo's got the quarterback.
Yeah, but do you think McDermott's going anywhere? Because I don't.
I'm sorry, not Buffalo. Chicago. Chicago's got the quarterback. I was thinking Buffalo because Trubisky was in Chicago, and then he went to Buffalo.
Go to Buffalo. No. Go to Chicago, not Buffalo.
Chicago. I don't know.
Denver?
Buffalo. Go to Buffalo. Go to Chicago.
Chicago. Chicago. Denver to me is a quarterback away. If you can get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers to go there, You get yourself Brian Flores with that defense. That's something. That could be something. Denver to me is a quarterback away.
Which is harder to do. It sounds easy to say get a quarterback, but that is hard to do. How many teams have been looking for quarterbacks for decades? Miami's been looking for a quarterback since they had Dan Marino.
Yeah, they still don't have one. But that's not. You had a coach. You got a legitimate coach. You know what's harder? The only thing that is hard, the only thing that is harder to find than a coach is a quarterback. So you had the coach. I'm sorry, but there are a lot of bad coaches across the NFL. There are a lot of bad coaches who woke up today and still have a job that I don't understand. And Brian Flores is out? And I have to wonder if he said, I want out. That's the only – how does the guy from the freaking Lions still have his job today? That knucklehead, Dan Campbell.
Players loved him.
How does that knucklehead have his job? How does the Jets coach still have his job? Another knucklehead. And Brian
Flores. His first year.
Brian, they're both first years. Dan Campbell, too. They're both first years. They're both dumb. Brian Flores is looking for a job.
After only 2 years. I mean, he was only there two. It wasn't like he was there for 4 years and was only
and
barely
he was
over
successful
500.
2 years.
Right. He was building the program.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't. Unless maybe he thinks that another job is going to open that he wanted. That's the only thing I could really think of. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense.
I'm sure we'll get more to the story as it goes on.
Maybe.
But
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was in a consultant role for the Patriots or something.
Yeah, come Saturday.
He's got to be a better defensive signal caller than Joe Dirt.
Yeah, but Joe Dirt's the coach's kid.
Oh, yeah, so. That's right. I forgot about that.
So there's that. But
bring him in to be the special teams coach because they sure as hell could use something there.
No, you make Joe Dirt the special teams coach, and he can go back to coaching defense.
Oh.
Around the league, quickly, for these playoff games. Do you kind of feel like the Patriots game might be the worst one of the week?
You know, I'll be honest, I haven't even really looked at the matchups.
Actually, no, Bucks-Eagles.
Let me take
a quick
look.
That's going to be pretty bad. Raiders-Bengals. That should be a heavy hit. That should be a slugfest. Cowboys-Niners. That's going to be a good game. Rams Cardinals, that'll be a good game. Chiefs Steelers. And then Bucks Eagles. Again, I think it was Bessie said, even when Brady doesn't get a bye, Brady still gets a bye. It's unbelievable.
That's true.
It's unbelievable.
Things do tend to fall into place for him.
Crazy how that happens. Crazy how that happens. And always seems to happen.
But the question is, will Joe Burrow be able to play for Cincinnati? He tweaked his knee
and sat out
the last game. Should be okay to play.
He sat out.
Barmore, I don't know if Patriots will have Barmore. He hurt his knee at the end of the game yesterday. Had an MRI that showed no significant damage, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be able to play.
I don't know that if I were the Patriots that I would. I think I might play more linebackers in this game. That's what I think I would do.
You've got to try to contain Josh Allen.
Yeah, linemen aren't going to do that.
Stop him from running crazy on you.
Linemen aren't going to do that.
Buffalo's not known as a running team either, so it's not like you got to stack the front.
Right. You can drop some linebackers into coverage and have a QB spy, maybe two.
It'll be interesting to see what they try to do to stop them because they played them twice.
Right.
So you would think that they've thrown everything at them at this point, but
although
Belichick
that,
is
I don't
playing
know.
Check, chess when everybody else is playing checkers, yeah, so true. He'll come up with something new and revolutionary.
Yeah, they'll run the
that
ball
nobody's ever seen before.
They'll run the ball 60 times this time instead of
and throw it once.
50. Yeah, right.
And that'll be Jacoby Myers throwing the
No, it'll be a fake punt, and Bailey will make the will throw it. That'll be the only pass of the game, and Mac Jones will catch it. That'll be the way it'll go. I think the Raiders. I think I'm circling Raiders Bengals. That I think is my game for this week. I'm gonna circle.
As the best game?
Most entertaining game.
I think Cowboys Rams, 49ers might be pretty good too.
Rams Cardinals will probably be the best game. But
Cardinals are hard to figure. Every time the Cardinals get on the big stage, they poop themselves. They have not played well in primetime games.
Yeah, I think that's probably your best game, I would say.
Cardinals Rams?
Cardinals Rams.
I'm going to go with 49ers Cowboys.
That's a good one. I'm sure Bessie's not freaking out about that one at all.
No, not at all.
It's a good one. Anything else around the NFL? Do you want to talk about Antonio Brown?
Do we really need to? Can I just say I told you so? Because we had the debate when the Patriots brought him in. I said, you don't need this guy and his drama.
Oh, still would have kept him on the team that year.
Still would have
kept him on the team that year. Because this would have happened 3 years later, so I would have kept him on the team that year. And I gotta tell you though, I don't really care about the on-field stuff. Like, whatever. Like, clearly there's. Everyone's like, oh, there's CTE. I don't know if that's the case, but clearly there's something wrong there.
He has issues.
Whether it's mental health or just diva syndrome, there's clearly something wrong there.
He had easily makeable incentives that would have made him another $1 million.
Well, no, it turns out he was injured and didn't want to play. That turns out what it was. Not about the incentives. He apparently was injured and they wanted to make him play and he said, nah, F you, I'm out. And then literally took an Uber home.
And that happened in the third quarter, not when he was getting dressed to play the game, in the first half.
I guess that happened
in the third quarter that he decided, I'm taking an Uber home.
I guess so.
He's got issues.
Tried to play through it, but then he attacks Brady. Like, that's the only reason you're employed in the NFL, by the way.
I didn't hear he attacked Brady.
Oh, my God. Did you not see this?
No.
Oh, my God. Well, hold on. Let me Google it so I don't
I did
get
hear
wrong.
Brady was interviewed after the game, and he gave some lame excuses. Oh, I didn't know what was happening. I never saw it. How could you not?
No. Like, going on saying that Brady's not good enough to win by himself.
Oh,
my God. You really didn't hear about this?
Why'd you let me miss that?
Questioned his friend, like, his friendship and hold on, I gotta get rid of my ad blocker.
Won't be letting him sleep on his couch anytime soon.
See if I can find the exact quotes. Brady can't do expletive by himself, Brown said on the Full Send podcast Friday. But you guys are gonna make it seem like he's just a heroic guy. Bro, we're all human, bro. We're all dependent on somebody else to do the job.
True.
To me, a friend is someone who's got your back. Not everybody in sports is going to be a friend. Tom Brady's my friend. Why? Because I'm a good football player. He needs me to play football. People have different meanings of what friendship is. I think there's a... asking for Brady's empathy. Brady told the media. And then he went on to say something about Gronk. And... about how he went to the Bucks and said how he wanted a guaranteed contract and Brady wouldn't back him up, but look at Gronk's contract, what's he getting? Name a better player than me on that team. He went at Brady and questioning like, he's not my boy. Like he called me because he needed my help to win a Super Bowl last year. That's why I came, because he called me personally and asked me to come back and play because he needed my help to win a Super Bowl, because he's not good enough to do it himself.
He actually said that he's not good enough to do it himself.
I just read it to you. That was a direct quote. That's a direct quote. Let me see if I can find it again here. Because Brady can't
do expletive
by himself.
Well, I don't think he'll be playing in the league anytime soon.
Well, I'm glad we talked about Antonio Brown because I just touched something today.
You did.
I don't know how you didn't see that, because I don't either.
I don't know how I missed that.
I mean, it's obviously. I mean, Antonio Brown now has a small piece of my heart with him because of those comments. So, I mean, obviously. I mean, I don't think necessarily that's true. I do believe you can't win anything by yourself because it's a 53-man roster. But that's, you know, whatever. But crazy. Crazy. And when you really look, I mean, Mike Evans might be better than him. But I don't really think he's wrong. We did call him to help him win a Super Bowl. I don't think that's incorrect.
No, that's true. And a friend is more of a friend when you...
At your lowest, when you don't need them.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't just call somebody a friend because you need them.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Right. Now's the time Brady should be reaching out. Now.
And Brady did have some comments afterwards about, you know, please don't assume what's going on with him, things like that.
But that's not Brady protecting Antonio Brown. That's Brady trying to portray like he's some like good human being and is.
Well, I'm not gonna get inside what Tom Brady's head and guess what he was thinking.
Oh, I will. I 100% will.
I mean, Brady even said it on one of the TV shows that he does, that when he says something, he stops and thinks about it and says what he thinks he should say, not what he's really thinking.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. He's fraud.
So
fraudulent.
So there's a
fake loser. Dweeb.
Not a loser.
Dweeb.
Not a loser.
He's a social loser. He's a social loser. He's a loser. He's a loser. He's not a loser in the sense that he loses
things.
He's
not a loser on the field.
Like Kirk Cousins.
Not
a loser
off the field either. He's doing pretty damn well.
No, he's a loser. Okay.
He's crafted a persona.
He's a loser. A loser. Where's Uggs? He's a loser.
Or as we say here in New England, a
loser. It's a loser. Anyway, anything else you got? You want to chit chat about for the
next 2 minutes?
Yeah, I gotta go do the Bruins podcast. I didn't even realize. Anything else around the NFL or any other sport?
How far do you think the Pats are gonna go? Do you think they'll get by Buffalo? How far do you think they'll get by? They'll get after that.
You know. Would they have to play Kansas City?
I have to look at the seeding. Kansas City's the one seed. No, if they come out of wild card weekend as the top seeded wild card, yeah, they'd play Kansas
Tennessee's
City.
Tennessee's the top seed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tennessee's the top seed.
They're the sixth, so they could play Tennessee.
That's right. They could play Tennessee, and it'll be a very, very different game than what happened at Foxborough, that's for sure. Derrick Henry could be back. They've been very careful how they've managed Derrick Henry. They still didn't activate him for the game this week, but he could be ready to go for the playoffs. He'll get that extra week of rest.
I'll tell you.
That's going to be a significantly different team than what they saw in Foxborough.
I do think they can beat the Bills. I don't know if they will, but I do think they can beat the Bills. I do. I could be completely wrong with this, obviously, but I do feel like the Bills strike me as a kind of team, kind of like you just said about the Cardinals. Maybe not the best team for prime time. Maybe not the best team in a big spot. I'm torn because I also feel like the Bills could go to the Super Bowl. So like I'm torn. But I do think they can beat the Bills. I do. And I'm sounding such a homer because I think they could beat Tennessee too. But realistically, they probably lose here in Buffalo.
Well, I think they could beat Cincinnati. I think they can beat the Raiders.
It's really the Chiefs. Chiefs are the team where I don't think they beat. No, they wouldn't even play the Steelers. But I don't. Yeah. I think the Chiefs are the only team I'm looking here, and I'm like, I don't think they could beat the Chiefs.
I think they could beat any of those other teams if they play their best game and they don't do the stupid things that we talked about earlier and beat themselves. I think they could play a perfect game as far as not beating themselves and still get spanked by the Chiefs.
Right. One thing, I think the Chiefs' offense is just too good, in my opinion.
They have too many weapons.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have
enough. And their defense is decent.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they lose the ball. Because I don't think, in order to beat Buffalo, you're going to have to control the clock and you can't turn the ball over. And I don't know that they're going to be able to do that.
Well, they can run on Buffalo. They've certainly proven that.
Most teams can run on Buffalo. Most teams
and
can.
And that is the strength of their team. So if a couple of the bounces go your way, yeah, I could see them beating Buffalo.
Yeah, it's elementary, but it's the turnover game. Yeah, you have to win the turnover game. Realistically, you can't turn the ball over.
So. And Josh Allen is known for throwing stupid interceptions at times.
You're not wrong. Absolutely not wrong.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I do say there's a chance. I think the Bills.
Yeah, I'll agree
end up
with
winning.
You.
I think the Bills end up winning, but I do think there's a chance. I really do. And you know what would happen, of course, is that they would play the Chiefs. Assuming the Chiefs win, they play the Chiefs. Because the next lowest
seed. It depends
seed,
on how the other games turn out.
No, they'd be the next lowest seed. Oh, no, so they play the Titans.
It depends on how the other game. No, the Titans don't. Oh, that's right. They get the bye this weekend.
Yeah,
they play the Titans. But it depends. I mean, if the Steelers win their game,
Steelers beat
then
the Chiefs.
They would play the Titans.
Steelers are going to beat the Chiefs. So let's move on.
I said,
the Steelers don't even deserve to be in there. They're just the Chargers and Raiders are just two dumb franchises for not just freaking sitting on a freaking. Oh, what I would have given.
Here's something we haven't talked about. Talk about dumb franchises. Baltimore. What about the two times that they went for two at the end of the game instead of kicking the extra point to tie it and didn't make it either time? That cost them a playoff berth. I feel like...
Well, no, because they could have lost in overtime.
They could have, but let's say that they even win one of those games. They're in the playoffs.
Yes, but they still could have lost in overtime. It's not like that you have to end the game.
Yes, they could have. Anything could have happened, but they definitely lost by going for two and not making it.
Yeah, with an automatic kicker. And a kicker who could... I mean, that's the other thing. When you get into overtime, assuming that
you've got the best kicker in football.
So you basically have to get over the 50 and you're in field goal range.
I mean, what was Harbaugh thinking? I mean, everybody, like when your testosterone fills, like, ah, let's go for two. Let's win this now.
Yeah, once.
The first time, yeah. 2 weeks later, you did it again and basically ran the same play and couldn't execute it.
You know who does stuff like that? Stupid teams. The
Lions.
Loses. The Lions.
Yeah, but the Ravens aren't a stupid team.
No, they're not. They're not. Not. I wonder if Harbaugh's trying to run himself out of there. Maybe he wants to go. Maybe he wants to go coach. Maybe he wants to go coach Ohio State to have a battle of the Harbaughs in Michigan and Ohio State.
Well, the rumor is his brother is gonna interview for the Denver job.
Well, there you go. Is that the same division?
Was it Denver? No, it's not the same. Denver's in the West.
Or are they going to Chicago or Buffalo or where's he going? Go to Chicago.
I thought I heard Denver. Go to Buffalo. Chicago or Buffalo? Go to Buffalo.
The current head coach might have something to say about that, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see, I guess, how it goes this weekend. But all right. I think that's it. So now we can call it a comeback.
All right, we're back. We're back, baby.
Yeah, now we can call it a comeback. Hopefully some good content. There we go. A+. Some good content coming here for 2022 between the website www.bostonsportssyndicate.com, the Twitter, and the newly created Instagram @BostonSportsSYN. And don't forget, if you want to catch yourself a game, hockey game, basketball game, probably not a football game at this point. Probably won't have a home game. Baseball game, the Red Sox ever come back, you can head over to SeatGeek.com and use code BSS at checkout. You'll save yourself $20 off a $50 or more purchase. Also, don't forget to check out our other podcast, Bleed Black and Gold podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and the Beantown Beatdown podcast, which you can find on Spotify and YouTube.com. I think that's it. I think I got it all.
And we're holding out hope that maybe the Red Sox podcast to be named later may be returning at some point in 2022.
Spoiler alert.
I said we're holding out hope. Spoiler it's not an announcement. Alert. We're working on it.
All right, fair enough. I appreciate you guys for listening. Thank you for joining me. I apologize for the 3-month delay. Hopefully we're back on track. And thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Boston Sports Syndicate.
Get the duck boats ready! Get the duck boats ready! After 39 long years, the Cup is back home! The Bruins are 2011 Stanley Cup champions!
Diving to the goal line! A touchdown! And a title for the Patriots!
I can't believe it!
Number 17, soon to be raised to the Raptors.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible!
Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champions.
This is our f***ing city.